Let's continue in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for all being here with us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful through all the ups and downs in life, that we need you in every single moment of the day is the true reality of life. Lord, help us to see that this morning, that we need you in absolutely everything. Lord, you have given us a hope of eternity to be with you, and we live in this world and wait for that hope. Lord, give us courage, give us strength, give us endurance. Lord, we need you to give those things to us because life is difficult at times, more so than others, and we can't make it without you. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're in Philippians 3, 20 through 21. We'll end in ending chapter 3 today and moving into chapter 4 next week. Almost through the book of Philippians. Isn't that amazing? It's pretty exciting. It's almost heartbreaking, too, at the same time, because there's been so many different things that the Lord has shared and shown over the last couple years going through the book of Philippians that they're priceless. And thanking the Lord for the things that he's shown us already in the book of Philippians and what he's got yet to show more in the last these verses in the last chapter. If you'd like to stand with me and read, I'm going to read Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. You may be seated. Lord, may your word continue to move in our lives and our hearts today as you continue to speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, reflecting on last week, have you been able to spend time with the Lord and get a greater burden for those who don't know him? You know, last week we ended, Paul was talking about the those who don't know who he is, but his heart was weeping for those who don't know who he is. And the Lord, has he shown you some things this week or put a greater burden for you in those who don't know him? Has he opened the door for you to share the gospel with somebody this week? You know, there's a few times that this week that happened that passed. I'm like, Lord, did I miss that opportunity? Did I not take the time? Did I not take that moment that needed to be shared at that time? We don't want to miss those opportunities because maybe God has you for a specific purpose in that moment. Maybe the day doesn't go the way you anticipate because he has a greater plan than what we have in store. So we don't want to miss him. I have a story from my daughter, which she didn't even hear the message, but it's how the Lord works. They're down in South Carolina visiting some friends, and she met some people on the beach, and they were playing, and she ends up saying, "Do you know Jesus?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we know him." It's like, "Oh, well, fantastic." Well, and they start having this conversation about the Lord. She wanted to know, there was these nice kids that they were playing with. It's like, "Well, I want to know if they know Jesus." So she says, "Daddy, you won't believe this. I was talking to some people on the beach and asked them if they knew Jesus and that they love him." And they say, "Oh, yes." And they said, "Yes." They said, "Yes." And they go to another Baptist church somewhere in North Carolina. It's like, "Oh, well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic." And it's like, wow. You know, she didn't even hear the message, but that's God's heart. Reaching out and touching people's lives for him, sharing his truth. Just asking, "Do you know? Do you know him?" Because it's easy to say, "Well, I'm a Christian." But what does that really mean? But do you love Jesus? Now, that's a different question. It's deeper. There's more meat to it. He knows where we're at. So, beautiful things. Well, maybe the Lord will give you opportunity this week again. I'm thinking he will, and maybe we'll hear where he wants us to take time and to listen and to share with somebody else. We came out of that verses right before in verses 18 and 19, where some had rejected the truth of Jesus being the Messiah and the Word, the Savior of the world, who they just reject him. Paul's weeping and he's very sad. But now we're moving into verse 20 and 21. But for those who trust Jesus as the righteousness before God and desire to him be the Lord of their lives, those will have eternal life with Jesus for eternity. In 1 Timothy 1:1, and Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. He is the reason why we're here today, to be in his presence, to learn about him, to be drawn, encouraged by one another, to be looking for him. He's our hope. We can't make it through life without him. I can't. That's just the reality of the truth. And when others say, well, that's just a crutch to be a Christian, you need somebody to help you along, well, you know what? Okay, I'm all right with that. Because that's the truth of everybody, even the person who's speaking that, if they don't realize that they need Jesus in their life. They need him in everything to carry them through. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for you yourselves fully know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Not only is he our hope, but he's going to return. That is the truth that we stand upon because we wait for eternity with him. The two words that come forth in my mind with this message is our citizenship that we see in verse 20. The citizenship of heaven and also what that looks like in our lives. As we see the message this week, look and remember those two things, the citizenship and then what does that look like in the believer as we wait for that? Because we eagerly wait for this and for him to return. And the truth of that, it directs and affects our life. It directly affects our life on how we live, the choices we make, what becomes important to us. The more we look and we meditate on the truth that God has, where our citizenship is there. We're waiting for something greater than what we have here. It definitely directs and changes. It affects the way we think. What we see is important. The choices we make, it affects those things. Isn't that true, church? Our citizenship. The believer's citizenship is in heaven. That's what we're waiting for. Here in the verse, it's he's talking to the whole church here. Philippians, your citizenship is in heaven. Look for that. Wait for that. Paul is talking to the one who has put their trust in Jesus Christ. Hopefully today, every one of us here has put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, who desires to have him to be a part of their lives, who has submitted to his lordship and has put their trust in him and anticipating his return. These are the people that Paul's talking to. A citizen in the kingdom knows that there's a king, there's one who rules in that place where they're more than willing to sacrifice themselves for, to submit themselves under the leadership of that leader who is going to be Jesus. These are the people that he's talking to. He points the believers to that eternal perspective that he's done so much throughout the book of Philippians, continually looking beyond our circumstances here into the eternal perspective, where I'm going to be, where my hope lies. Because life can get very cloudy here. It can get very confusing. It can get very depressing and pushing down at times, can't it? And Paul continually shares, look beyond this. Because if you don't look beyond this, you will lose perspective. You will become depressed. You will become burdened. You will become anxiety-driven. You will become whatever the world presses you into be. That's what you'll become. And Paul encourages us to look beyond, look to the eternal perspective. Look for Jesus. Look to him. Know where your place is going to be. Which changes our purpose, doesn't it? Of why we live. It does spark revival in our lives if it has been pushed off to the side. Because now a new purpose, the original purpose, loving the Lord, knowing him and walking with him, that becomes alive again in our lives. So what is your desire? Can you say that your desires are in line with Jesus' desires for life today? Can you say that? When you look back through, you might have to take this week and spend time with the Lord. Take one of the journals in the back and write down the things that the Lord shows you. Take the notes that we have. Go back over them. See where the Lord is drawing you into His presence. Seeing how He wants you to have His desires in your life. Speaking with a gentleman this morning who challenged the things that he watches and said, I got rid of a third of everything that I watch. Why? Because it's not godly. It's not going to draw me into Jesus. It's not going to further me in my walk with Him. He spent time and prayed about it. Said, I prayed about it. Said, Lord, what do you want me to get rid of? That's what he did. He wants to make sure his desires are in line with Jesus. That was entertainment for him at the movies. What is it with your thought process? Is your thought process in line with Jesus' desires on how you look at people, how you interact with people, how you think about people? God wants to change and mold your desires to be like His. So what are your desires, and are they in line with Him? The citizen of the kingdom looks different than the citizen of the world here. Paul wants us to understand that. He's given us great examples throughout all of Philippians 1, 2, and 3 already. Colossians 1:12 says, For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That citizenship of what I'm waiting for, the kingdom is over there. I'm going to be with Him one day. And hopefully you will as well. Your desires will show what kingdom you want to be a part of. What are you living for, and who are you living for? John 14:15 says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Part of the citizenship, the one who is waiting for the kingdom, Jesus says, My citizen will obey me, will keep my commandments. That's what my citizen will do. How? Through my strength, through the Holy Spirit who is in you. The one who I submit to. Lord, I need your help so that I can be a citizen that is like you, an imitator of God that we saw in Ephesians 5:1 last week. For it is this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially for believers in 1 Timothy. We have fixed our hope on the living God, where our citizenship is, the one we want to be like. 1 John 2:15, Do not love the world nor the things in this world, where this citizenship is. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the love in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life are not from the Father, but they're from this world. If you want to have your kingdom be a part of this world and you want to be a great citizen of this particular place, then those three will be a part of your life. What are your desires? Are they like Jesus's? What needs to change in our lives? What needs to be ripped out of our lives by the Holy Spirit? You need to spend time with Him. If you're spending time with Him, He's showing you these things and saying, I need to tweak your thinking here. I need to bring it back into the way it needs to be. Loving, like me. Not perverted, not twisted, not turned even the slightest bit, but like mine. Will you come to me and let me do that? In John 2, it says, The world will pass away in its lust, but the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. In Luke 16:13, it says, No one can serve two masters, For you either hate one and love the other, or you'll devote one and despise the other. You can't serve God and wealth. You're either going to be focused on the eternal perspective in God's kingdom and loving Him with your life, or you're going to be loving this world and wanting to be a citizen of this world, of this kingdom. We can't serve both God and this world. Can't. He knows it. Our minds will think one directional. I'm either moving towards Christ or I'm moving away from Him, or I'm not desiring Him. I'm either desiring or not desiring. And He desires our whole heart not to be torn. He wants everything about us. It excited me when that person said today, I have asked the Lord, what do you want me to keep and what do you want me to get rid of? Because they said, I don't want to serve myself in this world or the pleasures of this world or being accepted by this world because I like this type of entertainment, but I want what you like, Lord, in my life. And I'm willing to get rid of what I used to like and what I think it was a part of me, and I want to get rid of it. Because I don't want to serve two masters. I want to serve you, Lord. You know, this whole idea that we have in America and maybe even the world, I just want a little bit of Jesus in my life. I just want to incorporate a little bit of Him in, just enough to make Him change the things that I don't like about me, but yet I still want to be a part of this world. I still want to do the things that I like to do and incorporate them into the kingdom living life. I want to have best of both worlds. If that's you today, God says no. No. Choose who you will serve today. Choose who you will be standing with. Will it be me? Or will it be yourself with whatever else you want to incorporate into your life? Jesus is about transforming us, putting His character into us. Him completely Himself, taking away my brokenness, my evilness, and letting His Holy Spirit shine through. It's not going to happen if I want just a little bit of Jesus in my life, just enough to make me feel good about myself. That's not the Christian life. Don't be fooled. If that's you, He wants you completely. For Paul says, for me to live is to Christ, is to die is to gain. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to live for Christ, and when I die, I'm going to get I'm going to be the citizen in the kingdom. I'm going to be with Him. That's what I'm looking forward to. This world has become dim to Him. And He's encouraging the believers, that's what I want in your life. But He knows the believers might not be there. They might not care for that. But Paul's going to encourage them. Seek after Him with all your heart. Even the things that might be questionable, just get them out of your life. Seek Christ in everything. James talks about faith and works, how they go hand in hand. You can't separate them, just like you can't take away the Savior and the Lordship. You can't take them apart and say, well, I just want the Savior or I just want the Lord. That's it. You got to have them both together. They're united. You can't separate them. John 2:17, even so faith has, if it has no works, is dead by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your works without work. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Because it's easy to say, I love Jesus. He's died on the cross for my sins. And then go out the door and live exactly the way I feel like I want to. It's easy. And take the label of Christian and say, yes, I know Jesus. And even spout off some scripture that I have memorized. It's easy. There's no life change there. I'm not a citizen of the kingdom because I could care less about that kingship. And James is encouraging the believers, look at your life. Does your life show what you really believe? If I really believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and he is the king of this world, he's the king of all creation, he's the king of everything, then I'm going to submit to that one. And guess what? My life, I want to live for him, period. God, I need your help to do that because I'm going to mess it up. And he's not asking for perfection. He's asking for a heart that desires him in their life. There's my security. God, I want you in my life. Help me. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to help you. He's going to direct you. And guess what's going to happen? My works are going to prove my faith. The things that I do, you're going to see. That person loves Jesus. Your life might not look like mine. My entertainment might be different. As I spoke with that person, some of his entertainment is not my entertainment, but that's okay. Because I'm talking to the Lord myself. What do you want me to get rid of, Lord? That's not good for me. Because that might take my mind off of him. And I want to be submitted to you and your lordship in every aspect of my life. Lord, I need your help to do that. So, Paul, or James, is encouraging the believers that works or actions, they're just a byproduct of my belief, my faith, my understanding of who Jesus is. If I have a very small understanding of who Jesus is, guess what? My works won't be that many. Did you hear that? If you have a small understanding of who God actually is, Jesus, it's going to be, your works are going to be a little. You won't care for the things of the kingdom. You won't care about helping other people because Jesus told you to help them, or even asking about how do I help other people? What should I do to help share your word with other people? You won't care because I have a little understanding of who God is. It's important to spend time with Jesus, opening up his word and reading it, asking him questions. It's important. So our understanding grows deeper and deeper and deeper, so that we become more fearfully walking before him in a good way, in a reverence way. Where, Lord, I want you to be a part of every aspect of my life. And I don't want to sin against you because you're a mighty, wonderful God, full of love and mercy that you have poured upon me. And the more I understand it, the more I realize that the more you pour it out on other people, because that's his heart. And you see the works, the good things that you do, you give praise to God. God's helping me do this. He's doing this in my life. It's crazy for me not to live for him. And if you're there, that's where your life is at. Continue in that all the more. Let God continue to change you and show himself to others, because we need it in this world. This world needs to know who are really believers and who are not. Who just take a little bit of Jesus and mold them in their life, and who actually wants everything of Jesus. That's what the world's looking for. They want to know what real life is all about, not this fake facade stuff. You believe that God is one, you do well, and the demons believe it and they shudder. So it's not just about understanding what Jesus did on the cross, because the demons understand it and they shudder, but they don't submit to the lordship of God in their lives. They will have to bow down because he is the mighty king. They will bow down and they will be judged. But they're not saved. Just because they know doesn't mean it. Are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that his faith was working in his faith was working in his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Because God can tell you, I died on the cross, but if you don't live in that in your life, it means absolutely nothing. Abraham was told by God to go sacrifice his son. And in that son, life was going to come out of for the world. The lineage of the Messiah. He had to trust God that what he said was going to be true, even if it looked crazy. Somebody dying on the cross seems crazy to the world. But if God says that's the way of salvation, then you know what? It's not that crazy. It's the truth. Just like Abram had to believe, well, I will sacrifice my son, God will raise him up again because that's the promise. Through my seed will become the Messiah. He had to follow through with it. And God stopped him because he saw, you believe me. You believe me. You trust me. And because you trust me, your actions show it. You walk with me. Just like when we come to the cross, Jesus died on the cross. He said, this is life right here. You accept what I've done. And if you accept what I've done, you know that I'm the Savior of the world in God, in the flesh, Emmanuel. Follow me from that time forward. Well, if I truly believe that he is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, who died for me, then I will follow him. And he's going to sanctify me. He's going to grow me in that understanding and deepening my understanding of who he actually is. And that understanding is going to continue to grow until we are with him in heaven. It's going to be a beautiful day. But until that time, we continue to grow in his glory. He reveals himself more and more and more to us. How much do you want him to reveal to you about himself? He says, seek me and you'll find me. If you believe you're going to find him, you'll seek him. Do you seek him in the morning? Do you seek him in the afternoon? Do you seek him in the evening? Do you seek him at the midnight hour? Because if you actually believe you will find him because his promise is true, you will, then you will. Your actions, your works will show your faith. And it'll prove to yourself the security of your salvation. I actually want God in my life. I actually want him. He's done it all for me, but I want him. And I know my eternal destiny is with him in heaven. Lord, just continue to show me. Help me. Be with me. Help me to surrender and let you be everything. So Savior and faith are equal. Surrendering. Lord and works is the relationship, the trust, and the submission. They're all equal together. You can't separate these. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers sent out to them by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead. Jesus paid the penalty. He did everything that's needed for us to have salvation, for us to be in a relationship with God. He's done it all. And what he's asking us to do is believe what he's done. And if we believe it, our works are going to show that we believe, because we're going to follow him. And people are going to see that. And they're going to see your life is different than the citizens of this world, because you're living for a king in a different citizenship area, in a kingdom that is going to be where we're going to be one day. People will see that, and they will know. That's the citizenship. I think we'll continue in verse 20 next week, 21 next week. We won't get quite to chapter 4. So I think this is a good closing time for our thought process. God wants us to understand that we are a part of his citizenship. If you want that, he's made a way for you. Your life will show it, and your works will prove to you who your God really is as you submit to him and ask him for the help that's needed to live for him.